Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Samech Ches. We're in the very top of Samech Ches, Amud Aleph. We're starting with the first words, the Bei Rabbi Shmuel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learning Zecha Nishmas Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. Topic today is Hafaras Nedarim. Topic really started yesterday in the Masechta on Daf Samech Zayin. Samech Zayin, we began the new perek, the 10th perek of the Masechta. There are two more prakim to go, this perek and the next one. And when we finish the Masechta, and this parak is dedicated to the topic of Afaras Nadarim. The Torah here is very explicit regarding the topic of Afaras Nadarim. However, there is one middle case which needs clarification, and we started clarifying it yesterday, and we're going to continue clarifying it today. And it goes like this. You could just move it, throw it, whatever. Treat it with reckless abandon. Okay, it needs clarification. So here's where the Torah is extraordinarily clear. A girl in the house of her father. So the father has the right to be made for her neder. Her father has given the Torah gives the father the right, the ability to annul her vow. She makes a vow, and the father hears it and is very upset and objects to the neder. So the father has the right to say simply, nope, I reject the neder. And he has the right to annul the neder. He's on the clock from the time that he hears it. He's given a full day, 24-hour period, in which he can annul the neder. And if he does so the neder is annulled. He could also be mekayim the neder. He could also confirm the neder and say, no, good, I agree. So then there's the third option, really, and that is let the clock run out. But letting the clock run out is really the same thing as a comma. Just in other words, obviously it takes 24 hours. But from the time that he hears it until the 24-hour period has come and gone, if the father then just simply doesn't object but doesn't confirm, but he just simply lets the clock run out, so then that also will sustain the neder. So that is while she's in the house of the father, and that's articulated in the Torah. Again, Parshas Matos, begin first Aliyah in Parshas Matos from Psukim Beis 2, Pasuk Yud Zayin. So we start in Pasuk Dalet. So Pasuk Dalet, V'isha kisidur neder l'Hashem v'asreisor b'veis aviyah b'nureha. She makes a neder while she's in the house of her father, while she's a Nara. Now the Torah over here identifies her as being a Nara, but as we pointed out yesterday, it's not limited to Nara. It could also be while she's a Katana as well. Because as we learned, Nedarim has a very unusual halacha, unusual meaning it's not normal in the Torah, that normally when we say is that a girl below the age of 12 is not a bar das, or not in this case, a bas das, but nevertheless, the Torah says when it comes to Nedarim, a girl can make a neder from the ages of 11 to 12. So the truth of the matter is that even while she's a Katana from 11 to 12, and from 12 to 12 and a half, so during that 1.5-year period, she can make a neder, and the father has the right to annul it. That's what the Torah goes on to say. Pasuk Hey, v'shama avias nidra v'esra asher asra al nafsha v'achrish la'aviyah v'kamu kol nedereha v'chol yisar asher asra al nafsha yakum. So if the father is quiet, so then good, then the neder will be sustained. V'im heiniya v'yosab yam shamo kol nedereha v'esra asher asra al nafsha lo yakum. However, if the father objects and he rejects the neder, so then that's it. V'asham yislach lak yiniya v'yosab. And then the Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide for her a slicha, which, by the way, we're going to get to later and talk about why she needs a slicha. Okay, that is the first section of Hafaras Nedarim in the Torah. That's from Psukim Dalet Hei and Vav. Then we have Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin introduces us now to, she's entering into a new stage of life. V'im ha'yosi ela'ish unedare aleha. Now, if she's married. Now, as we concluded yesterday, this parsha over here, this second section, is dedicated to the topic of a girl who's still a Nara, meaning she's still under the jurisdiction of her father, and on top of that, she's an Arusa. She is now betrothed to another man. Her betrothal to another man, on one hand, obviously, is the beginning of marriage. It's more than the beginning of marriage. Like we said yesterday, Erusin is really marriage. It's stage one in marriage. She, at that point in time, is married. She's a married woman. She can't be with another man. Her kedushin with anyone else just simply won't take effect. She's married. On the other hand, however, she's not yet fully under the jurisdiction of her husband. So where is she right now? She's caught in between her father and her husband. Her father still maintains jurisdiction over her, some limited jurisdiction over her, that because she's still a Nara. And at the same time, her husband now has also some jurisdiction over her. So basically, it's, if you will, okay, and I'm not objectifying, I'm just simply explaining what's happening over here. It's basically joint ownership over her at this juncture of her life, when she's a Nara Hamurasa. And so we learned yesterday, this is now section 2, Vim Hayosi Eliish. And, as we pointed out yesterday, the key word is the word Hayo. Hayo Havaya, in the world of marriage, is a reference to Erusin. It's a reference to the first stage of marriage. And her husband hears. Now it's interesting, we pointed this out yesterday. Here in the second section, the father's not mentioned. The only one who's mentioned over here is the husband. But the way we understood it yesterday is that what we're going to have to say is it's assumed that the father is still in the picture and still in the equation. And the way we're going to have to understand the psukim is that in addition to the father, that's like in parentheses, right, where the Torah doesn't mention. This is the Torah Shabbat Peh. In addition to the father, the husband also has the right and the ability to know. If on the day that the husband hears, so he objects, and he annuls the neder. Okay, so that is section number two. Now, and we admitted yesterday, and I'm just reviewing today, that in section number two, it doesn't actually say that the father annuls the neder, but we learned yesterday, that's how you're going to have to learn the psukim. And that in section number two, it's a reference to her being a nara hamarasa. It's her husband, and then in parentheses, in addition to her father, are going to have a joint venture in annulling her nidarim. And then the Torah inserts a pasuk over here, which, you know, in the context of our discussion, in the context of the Torah, makes perfect sense, but kind of doesn't fit now. Now, if she's a widow, if she's a divorcee, so then, obviously, she now is within her own rishus, so to say. Okay, and then we get to section number three. Section number three begins in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'im Beis Isha Nedara Usra Yisrael Nafsha B'Shvua. Now, if she's married, but now in context, we could say, we totally understand what's going on. Section number three is, what does that mean, she's married? She's fully married. Meaning now she not only went through Erisin, she went through Nisun as well. Fine, if the husband doesn't say anything, fine. But if the husband objects and annuls her neder on the day that he hears it, so the neder is going to be annulled. And once again, Kadosh Baruch Hu will provide a hafara. Adkan, that is a review of what we saw yesterday. That was really the Gemara's conclusion from yesterday. And that is that the way to understand the sequence of psukim in the beginning of Parshas Matos is that there's sections 1, 2, and 3. Section 1 and 3 are clear. What section 2 is a hybrid of sections 1 and 3. 1 is the father's mayfair. 3 is where the husband's mayfair. And 2 is where there's a joint venture where between the two of them they're going to be mayfair as a joint venture. Adkan Divrei Chazara. That is the review of what we saw yesterday. We're now on the very top of Samaches Amad Aleph. The Gemara now is going to continue its discussion. Debei Rabbi Yishmael Tani. We learned from the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, the academy of Rabbi Yishmael. Bein Ishli Yishto Bein Avli Vitamikan Lanara Mersa Shavio Vala Mefir Nedereha. Rabbi Yishmael says, I have a totally different source that arrives at the same conclusion. And the source of Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael is not from section 2. Meaning, everything I just said, don't ignore it. Because, obviously, it was a valid approach within the Gemara. That's what we're going to call yesterday's daf. But Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael says, I have a different source. Same conclusion. But the different source comes about through the end of the Parsha. The last pasuk in the parsha, pasuk Yud Zayin, Eila Chukim Asher Tziva Hashem as Moshe Bein Ish Lishto Bein Av Lebito Benura Besaviha. That's it. Keen on that last pasuk. Now, really, that pasuk is kind of like a summary, but Tana Debei Rav Yishmael says no, it's more than a summary. It's actually a description where you're going to have both the father and the husband being mefer a neder. When? Look at the end of the pasuk. Binureha beisaviha. When she's a nara and she's in the house of the father and she also has a husband. And again, how could there be joint venture? Answer is nara hamarasa. When on one hand she's a nara, which means that she's still under the jurisdiction of her father, and she's also murasa, which means that now she also is under the jurisdiction of her husband, but because she only went through the first stage of marriage and not the second stage of marriage, so she's not fully under the jurisdiction of her husband to the exclusion of the father, there you have it. In that one pasuk, you have a description of this nara hamarasa. So mikala nara hamarasa, shavi obala mefir nedereha. So the Gemara says, so now, basically, what according to Tana Debei Rav Yishmael, what do you do with the entirety of section 2? Meaning section 2 now becomes totally superfluous. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Mokim le'idach l'rava. So the Gemara says, well, what he's going to do with it is that he's going to apply to another halacha of Rabbah. Now, by the way, parenthetically, the Gemara doesn't even tell us what the other halacha of Rabbah is. By the way, in our Gemara, the Gersa is with an aleph, but many say, and the Ran says it as well, the correct Gersa is with the hay. But the Gemara right now doesn't even mention what the other halacha of Rabbah is. If you take a look at the Ran, so the Ran tells us what this other halacha of Rabbah is. It's coming up later in the Gemara. We're going to see it on Daf Ayin. Amar Lakaman, in the Ran, it is, I'm going to be doing a number of Rans today. Now, you could just quickly flip the page and see. The Ran writes extensively on today's Daf. A lot of it will be quoted today. There's not a lot of Gemara today, but a lot of it will be quoted today, and some of it I'm going to read inside. So let's take a look at the Ran over here. Amar Lakaman, it is about seven lines from the top of the Ran. Damar Lakaman, Mekish Kod Mehavai Yishniya, Lakod Mehavai Rishona, V'Rabbanan Sfir Lahu, Detartish, I'm sorry, Lakod Mehavai Rishona. We'll see this in a couple of days. We know that in the case of Nara Murasa, so there's a joint venture between husband and father where they're both going to, as partnership, be made for her neder. Let's say, this halakha coming up a couple days from now, so we're going to see this more in more detail. We're just mentioning it in passing. Let's say that she makes a neder. She's a Nara Murasa. It's a very unusual scenario. She's a Nara Murasa. So that means now that she has a dual, she's under dual jurisdiction of her father and her husband. She makes a neder, and then, right, but they both hear about it, and then within the day, her husband has died or divorced her. Okay. And then she marries another husband. Okay, within that day. I know, it's unusual. Aside from the fact that highly unlikely, just the point that we're going to make, and that is that the second husband also has the right to annul the neder because it's still b'yom shamo, and even though he's not the first husband, even though he's the second husband. How do we know that? From the double language of hayosi hiyeh. Right? While he writes, it is a funny lashon. Hayosi hiyeh, what is that a reference to? It's a reference to a double erusin. Well, a woman can't be married to two men. So the only scenario that it can be describing is where she's married to a man, and again, death or divorce, and then married to another man. Now, by the way, just as an incidental point, generally speaking, a woman has to wait 3 months before she marries another guy. But remember, over here, there was no bia between her and her husband. There was only erusin. Okay, so, again, all this is really, it's incidental. It's just the Gemara just explaining that according to Tanna Bei Rav Ishmael, where the halacha of joint hafara comes from the end of the parsha, what do you do with that second section? So the answer is, there's another halacha out there where we're going to use that second section to teach us the other halacha. Fine.
That works.
And it works. And it, yeah.
But a person who changes his mind does not work.
Huh?
A new husband works, but a person who changes his mind does not work.
Okay, it worked. It worked. The answer is just simply that it works. V'rabba hai de tana de bei Rav Ishmael my avilei. Now, according to Rabba, what are you going to do with tana de bei Rav Ishmael? Meaning, remember, now, according to Rabba, so you are learning out this idea of joint hafara from section 2. So then, what is the need? What's the purpose of Pasuk Yud Zayin? So me baile, lomar shabba mefer nedarim shebeino leveino. So it comes to tell me that the husband is made for nedarim between him and her. Now, this is a point which we have not yet explored, and it's not really the main topic of today, but it is, the Gemara just mentioned it, so let's make mention of it right now. And that is as follows. The husband is given the right by the Torah to annul her vows. Sorry, I'm speaking too quickly. But nevertheless, it's not every one of her vows that the Torah allows the husband to annul. And here the Torah is actually very clear. So the Torah says in this last parsha, again starts with Pasuk Gedal, the Embasi Shana Daran Asra Israel Navsha Bishwa, Vishama Ishavech Rishlah Eloi Nia Savikamakal Nerevacho Israel Shasra Navsha Yakum. Sorry, I just reviewed all that. That's what I wanted. Pasuk Yudalit. Any neder and any shvuah, la'anos nafesh. Anos nafesh means inui nefesh. Inui nefesh means affliction, meaning that the husband has a right, right now we're going to say this, that the husband has a right to annul only vows that provide for her personal affliction. So we are really limiting the husband's ability in terms of which nedarim can be mefer. He can only be mefer nedarim that are inui nefesh. Isha yikimenu v'isha yifarenu. The Torah says the husband can annul those and only those types of nedarim.
Inui nefesh to her.
Inui nefesh to her.
It's masculine. It's not him.
Well, no, but who's making the? She's the one making the neder.
Okay.
I mean, he's the okay. He's
that's a general.
Okay, that's true. And then Rabbi says we're going to add one more category, meaning that right now, if all I had was just the pesukim right in front of me that I just read, so then inui nefesh would mean that only nedarim that provide for her affliction, he can be mefer. Rabbah says, now you understand why this Pasuk is Zayin. Pasuk is Zayin comes to tell me that there's a second category. Eilach chukim asher tziva Hashem as Moshe, bein ish li'ishto, bein av l'bito. Bein ish li'ishto, second category. Meaning, if the neder affects the relationship, so even though it doesn't give her personal affliction, but it affects the relationship, that's a second category of neder that he has the right to be mefer. So, in the world of Afara of the husband can be mefer only in the darim that have inui nefesh, and only in the darim that have bein ish li'ishta. Good. So that is what...
So if it doesn't affect the father...
Wait. No, hold on a second. Hedy, just give me a moment.
Yeah.
Right now we're just talking about the relationship between her and the husband.
Right.
Okay. Now... Let me just read the Gemara one more time. Rabba hide the time to be Rav Shmuel my Avi. Let me buy Leilama Shehaba Mefer Nedarim Shebeino Leveina. Good. That the husband has the right to be Mefer Nedarim that affect the relationship between him and her. Okay. Good. What we have right now in the Gemara is basically a limitation of which Nedarim the husband can be Mefer. And so now it only begs the following question. And that is, does that same limitation apply to the father? Meaning, the Torah is very clear, exceedingly clear, that there are limits in terms of what the husband can be mefer. Do we say the same thing regarding the father as well? So once again, we take a look together at the Ran. So the Ran over here, the second mid-sized lines, we start with this paragraph of the Ran. Lamar shabal mefer edvarin shabena levena. The nidre inui nefesh behedja ksive kol nedev choshvus isa la'anos nefesh ben ishlish. I'm sorry, la'anos nefesh. So in terms of inui nefesh, so the Ran says, I don't need the Gemara, I don't need Torah Shabbat Peh. That's a pasuk in Chumash. Uvein ish li'ishto, it's terech l'dvarim shebeino levena. And as far as bein ish li'ishto, so that is learned out through Torah Shabbat Peh. That's a reference to a second category of a type of neder that she makes that the husband can be made for. Ulekam and bidech pirkan mefarish ma'inihu. And in terms of actual practical example, so the Ran says, stay tuned, we're going to discuss that later on. The kashle latan to be Rav Shmuel dvarim shebeino levena minale v'asher detarti alef mina. And then the Ran just basically takes up a detailed question. It's an important question, but that is now that we know that Rabba learns out this halacha beino levena dvarim shebeino levena from pasuk Yitzayin, where is Tana de Be Rav Shmuel going to learn it from? Because remember, according to Tana de Be Rav Shmuel, pasuk Yitzayin is coming to teach me the basic halacha of naruhu marasa and joint annulment of a neder. So where does he learn out this halacha? So the Ran says, you're going to have to say something like, Tanda Be Rav Shmuel actually learns out both halachas from Pasuk Yitzayin, which is generally something which the Gemara is not open to, but the Gemara doesn't discuss it, and the Ran says, you'll have to say that. Now, next part of the Ran is what we're going to be focusing on. V'hichi hecha debal ein mefer benidre ishto ela denar sheyesh bahem inui udvarim shebeino levena. Now, just like the husband is limited and capped in the types of neder that he can be mefer, hachinami av eino mefer benedre bito ela elu bilvad. So the Ran goes on to argue that the same limitation applies to the father. Even though our Gemara only makes reference to the husband and his limited ability to be made for his wife's neder, to only the categories of either inui nefesh or dvarim shebeino levena, says the Ran, the same thing is true regarding the father. Father, it works with the same limitations. Now, The Ran says, and I'm telling you, I found a source for this, and that is Sifrei. Okay, we should all know this. I've gone over this before, but it's very basic. It's very important. In other words, in terms of Torah Sheba'al Peh, obviously we look at Gemara as the foundation of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and that's good. I mean, that's a very fine assumption. However, there's actually an earlier source of Torah Sheba'al Peh, and that is the Midrash Halacha. Midrash Halacha is basically encapsulated in four works. On Sefer Shmos, it's the Mechilta. It's actually three works. On Sefer Shmos, it's a Mechilta. On Sefer Vayikra, it's called Sifra, or it also goes by the name of Torah Kohanim. And on Bamidbar Dvarim, it's called Sifrei. Okay? Not very descriptive names of it. Vayikra, it's called Sifra, the book. And on Bamidbar Dvarim, it's called Sifrei. Okay, and these are what's called Medrashei Halacha.
Different authors, right.
Yes, right. Rabbi Akiva is the author of one, Rabbi Shmuel is the author of the other. Yes, that's absolutely true. The Medrash Halacha, don't get confused by the word Medrash. You're right. We think Medrash, we think Midrashim, meaning stories, parables, right? Lessons to be learnt, which is true. That is Midrashim. Rashi quotes Midrashim all the time, right? Good. But we're not talking about Midrashim. We're talking about Medrash. Now, I know it sounds the same, but Medrash Halacha is basically Torah Sheba'al Peh in its first form written down. So the Ran over here is quoting the Sifrei that says that just like the husband has a capped ability in terms of which dharma can be made for, the same thing is true with the husband. The same thing is true with the father. Now, by the way, just as a parenthetical note, if the Ran is quoting the Sifrei, you know what that means. It means that there is no Gemara that discusses this point. And so therefore, he's got to go to a Sifrei because the Gemara doesn't discuss this. Ha'av minayin. This is him quoting the Sifrei. How do I know the father as well? Hariat Adan v'chule. So the Sifrei goes on to compare the two. But anyway, but the Sifrei clearly worked with that assumption. Lo zachisa ladun tamu lomar elo achukim v'gomer bein ish lishto bein av lebito akarch natam mekish es ha'av lebal ma bal emefer elo dvarim shebein olav einav v'nadarim sheish b'aminu enafesh v'chule. Okay, so again, he doesn't quote the entire piece from the Sifrei, but the Sifrei says that this is the case. B'Yerushalmi, I'm sorry, the Garcina Nami B'Yerushalmi called Nedav V'Choshvua says an Alanos Nefesh Ishay Kamen V'Ishay Yifareno Ein Le Alan Dvarim Shev Yesh Bein Inu Nefesh Dvarim Shev Bein Olavena Minayin Bein Ish Lishto Ad Kedon Beval Be'Av Minayin. Good. And the Yushami asks the very same question. Okay. So the Ran points out that the father and the husband are equated on this issue. He doesn't quote a Gemara in the Bavli because there is no Gemara in the Bavli that speaks to this point. But he does quote a Sifrei and he does quote and he quotes the Gemara Yerushalmi. To all this, the Ran notes at the very end of this paragraph, "Vizesh shelo kedivrei haRambam." And who disagrees with this point? The Rambam disagrees with this point. The Rambam is of the opinion that the father's ability to annul the nedarim of his daughter is unlimited, uncapped. Any neder that a daughter makes, the father can annul. Of course, a husband's ability to annul the nedarim of his wife is limited to either inui nefesh or dvarim shebeino levena. That the Gemara clearly states, but the Rambam is of the opinion that the father is unlimited in terms of which nedarim he can. So the Rambam would argue that by virtue of the fact that our Gemara doesn't mention it, so therefore there's no cap. The Ran is quoting other sources, other Torah Sheba'al Peh sources, notably the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi, and I guess the Rambam would say, now I'm guessing, okay, so that means that, I'm not sure, but I guess the Rambam would say that the Bavli itself doesn't say it, so because the Bavli doesn't say it, so therefore Bavli tacitly disagrees. Can I say that? Right? Usually tacit means you agree, but right.
So according to Ran and Rambam, there's a requirement that
the father and the husband, when there is a joint venture.
Yeah, partner, yeah, good, good. That's
something that affects both.
Good. I want you to know, as I was going over this machlokas last night, so I was wondering the same thing myself. I don't know the answer. Meaning, when she's not Ramarasa and now she has a joint venture, so does that mean now that the father's rules of hafara follow the husband's rules? I can't imagine that the husband now has greater power of annulment because now he's in partnership with his father-in-law. I can't. That's very hard to imagine.
Something that affects both. If it's
right.
Something that affects only the husband.
Right.
In the period of
trouble, I agree. I agree with that thinking.
What happened?
No, I'm saying you're right. In other words, I think it would have to be the kind of neder where there's a common denominator, where they both have the right to be mefer.
Right.
I would say that, according to the Rambam. According to the Ran, the question never gets off the ground, because according to the Ran, they're both working with the same limitation.
Right. So in terms of timing, you said it has to be at the same, both have to be agreeing. Now, if the father heard it, say, 2 days ago, but the husband hears now, so what happens then? I mean, it's like...
If the father... We'll talk about this more later on this morning. But if the father heard it 2 days ago, so that means that a day after he's heard it, so that was a kiyum. He has confirmed it. So that's it. No longer.
But
joint...
They're on 24 window based on when they hear, right?
Yeah, but the problem is that if one heard 2 days ago... And he let the 24-hour period go.
Yeah,
so that's it.
Yeah, the husband,
good. But in joint venture, right. So you need the hafara of both. Once one of the 24-hour clocks has run out, we'll talk more about this later, but
yeah.
Once one of the 24-hour clocks has run out, so that's a kiyum.
The father bought us the kiyum.
Which is tomorrow's daf. So, okay, the Gemara is going to sit on this topic for a while. So we're not leaving it anytime soon. Okay, very good. Quick recap. There's a story of Nara Marasa where there's a joint hafara of the of this young lady. The Gemara says.
What is the bottom line?
Wait, 1 second. There's no. I know. There's a machlokas. It's a machlokas. I don't know. So there's this Nara Marasa who is now in the jurisdiction of both the father and the husband. They both have the right and the ability to be mefer. They can only be mefer as a joint venture. Where is this derived from? So you have two options from the so far in today's daf. Either you go back to yesterday's daf, and one option is going to the second section of Hafaras Nedarim, where the pesukim begin, starts in pasuk Zayin, Vayosi V'im Hayosi Eliish, or that's one option. Or today we learned that there's a second option, and that's pasuk Yitzayin. Pasuk Yitzayin Bein Avli Bein Ish Liishto Bein Avli Bito. That's the second source to describe the state of Nara Marasa. Additionally, what we just went over is that we know that when it comes to the husband's ability to be made for the neder of his wife, he can only be made for the neder and the wife only under two categories: Inui Nefesh and Dvarim Shebeino Leveina. Examples of that will come up later in the Masechta. As far as the father's ability to be made for the neder, so the Ran, quoting both the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi, is of the opinion that the father also worked with the same limitations. The Rambam, however, says that the father has unlimited ability to be made for the neder. Where the source of the Rambam is, that is obviously unclear, but the Rambam feels that way, and the Ran notes that as well. Okay, let us continue in the Gemara Ibaila, who we are right in the middle of Samech Chesam and Aleph. And the Gemara asks the following question: Baal Megiz Gaiz O Miklash Kalish? And so now, basically, the Gemara's question that we're going to be dealing with for the rest of today is the following question. We know, right, Hedy gave yesterday such a great analogy to look at how the neder of the Nara Amarasa is annulled. So in other words, whenever you put something in your safety deposit box, so generally speaking, so the way it works is that there are two keys. You have a key and the bank has a key, and you both have to insert your key in order for the box to unlock. And basically, not to focus so much on the analogy, but basically what the Gemara wants to know is, mechanically, how does the hafara of the joint venture of father and husband work? In other words, the Gemara is going to really give us two different options in terms of how to view joint annulment of father and husband. One option, says the Gemara, is megas gaiz. Megas gaiz, literally the words mean lagoz, to cut. Meaning, each one of them has a 50% share in their daughter/wife's neder. And so what each one is doing is, with their hafara, unlocking 50% of their ownership of that neder. That's megas gaius. The other option, says the Gemara, is miklash kalish. Miklash kalish is that it's not 50% share, but basically you need two strikes with the hammer. The first strike with the hammer weakens the lock. The second strike with the hammer unlocks it totally. Now, it sounds very similar, these two ideas. But basically, you're going to see the Gemara is going to flesh it out by giving a practical difference between the two ways to look at how the joint hafara of husband and father work exactly. So let's see this in the Gemara. Yibai lehu megas gaiz. Is it cut or miklash kalish, or is it weakened? Now, it's interesting, by the way, the Gemara says, how does the hafara of the husband work? Meaning, is the husband cutting out his 50%? Meaning the father already took care of his 50% and the husband's cutting out his 50%? Or miklash kalish? Is it that the father weakens the neder with his hafara? Meaning it's like the first blow with the hammer? And then, the husband comes along, and then with now that it's a weakened neder, now he comes along and he totally undoes the neder. The Ron points out that really the truth of the matter is the question could have been asked from the perspective of the father as well, meaning that the husband was the first one to unlock it, and then the father comes along and he unlocks it. The Ron says the question could have gone either way. Okay, but let's just deal with the way the Gemara presents it. Okay, good. Hechi kami bailan kigon denadra mitrein zaysin. So the Gemara says, let's consider the following scenario. Let's say she makes a neder that she is not going to eat two kizesim. Okay? And over here, we could be as literal as we want. Let's say that there were two olives out there. She points to those two olives and she says, by neder, that I'm going to not eat those two olives. Okay? Vishama arus vehefer la. And now, her betrothed hears about this neder and he says, okay, I'm now annulling this neder. V'achal son. And then after that, she eats both olives. Okay. Iamran megas gaiz. So the Gemara says like this. So now, if we view it as megas gaiz, which means that each party, father and husband, have 50% share ownership of the neder. The husband annulled it. So now 50% of a neder is gone. But that of course means that 50% of a neder is still intact. There were two olives there. She ate both olives. So 50% of a neder is gone, but 50% of a neder is still there. What does that mean? 2 divided by 2? 1. It means that ultimately, she ate one olive that was still bound by a neder. So therefore, lake. Therefore, she's subject to malchus, because she violated her neder. I amrina miklash kalesh. However, if that's not the proper way to view it, but mechanically, the way that the joint hafara works is that the first one significantly weakens the neder, and the second one comes along and totally dissolves it. So the first one significantly weakens the neder. It's not 50%, 50%, but rather is that the first partner in the neder weakens the entire neder. So now you still have something. It's hard to quantify. Unlike the first option of Megas Gaiz, where it was easy to quantify, 50%, 50%. Here in our second option, the first one who was Mayfair weakened the neder. So now what you have now is a dissolved version of her neder. So wait just 1 second. Isura ba'almahu. So now by her eating the olives, there's still some shade of a neder that's remaining, but it's not quantifiable. You can't say that she formally ate one kizayis of iser. What you can say is that there was some neder remaining, a shade of a neder, if you will, remaining, and so therefore a residual of the neder remaining, and therefore she violates the iser to some degree. We can't quantify what that degree is. Certainly she's not subject to any type of malchus, but isur ba'alma. Certainly, if the question was, can she eat the olive? The answer, of course, is no. Because you need both partners to be made for the neder, and only one of them was made for the neder. she shouldn't be eating the olive, but she's certainly not going to be subject to malchus.
How do you know which part she eats?
Okay, wait, one second. One at a time. Yeah.
Didn't we hold by Rehiva that said if part of the nidah is gone, the whole nidah is gone a couple days ago?
Yes.
So in this case, if why didn't dissolve the entire nidah based on half?
All right. So the I heard a similar discussion around this topic in terms of bittul, but although it's bittul really over here, it's 50-50. But anyway, the neder shiksas miksaso means that part of the neder is gone. Meaning of the things that she was that of the if there was a neder on a group, and one of the things in the group was gone, so then everything is gone here. We don't know which one was gone, which is now going to address Alex's question. And that is, well, which olive was it? So the Ron writes, we don't know. But if you subscribe to the concept of Megas Gaias, you know that even though I can't tell you which olive it was that is no longer under the neder, but one of the olives are there. And she ate both. Meaning, and that's why the Gemara is very specific in its question. Right? One of the partners annulled the neder, and she ate both olives. So even though, oddly enough, I don't know which olive is still bound by the neder, but she ate it.
Why wouldn't she get malchus just because we cannot quantify the
asur? Right. So so it's very clear from the Gemara that in order for her to be subject to malchus, it has to be she has to eat a shear. Okay? That's generally speaking the rule regarding malchus. Now, again, the Ran over here, and this part I'm not going to go through inside. I strongly encourage you to take a look at it. The Ran over here is bothered because generally in the Darim, you don't find that in order to be subject to malchus, you have to eat a certain requisite amount. In other words, by her eating any olive, she's going to be violating her word. Her word is not to eat the olives. She ate the olives. Generally speaking, you don't need a kezias to be subject to malchus. Because the Isser is not so much the eating as it is, she violated what she said. And over here, the Gemara is very clear that in order for her to be subject to Malchus, she has to eat a Kezias. So the Ryan over here addresses that. Ryan gives a number of answers to that question that you're going to find in the paragraph that starts with the words, E Armet Miklash Kalish.
Another question. In Megas Gaias, right?
Yes.
How could you give her a warning while you're uncertain?
Right, Hasra Safek. Very good. That's a very good question. Let me ponder. I don't know. Okay.
I understand it's only an example to bring up the concept.
Very good.
It's not a good example in terms of affecting the father or the husband.
Well, it could be. It could fall under the category of Inu and Nefesh. In other words, right? She was withholding herself from the pleasures of this world. Olives. Okay, so Tashma. So now, what we're going to be doing for the remainder of the daf is very simple. It's not so simple, but it's very simple in that we're going to quote a brisa. And really, the structure of the remaining part of this daf is that the brisa over here is going to go through five different cases, and really, we could spend a lot of time with each one of these cases. In fact, the Ran does. You could take a look on side B of today's daf, Samaches Amud Beis, and you could see that the Ran spends a tremendous amount of time with every one of these cases. We, on the other hand, are not going to do that, because the objective, as usual, not as usual, but recently I've been excellent. Okay, there we go, pat in the back. So the objective is to finish the daf. And anyway, the Gemara is really trying to address its original question. The original question was, how to view the joint venture and the joint hafara of husband and father? Is it Megas Gaias? Is it 50%? Or is it Miklash Kalish? Is it a weakening followed then by a removal of the neder? And so the question is only going to be answered by the end of the Braisa. So I'm going to go through every one of the cases of the Braisa, and if you want to spend time analyzing each case in the Braisa, which again, strongly encourage, so do so, but we're going to go through the cases somewhat quickly. Case number one in the Braisa. Tashma, the Gemara says, come in here, here's the Braisa. Number one, Emesai Amru Mesa Bal Nisrok Nereshus Ha'av, I'm sorry, Reshus La'av. There are circumstances where she was under joint jurisdiction of her father and her husband. Again, she's a Nara Hamurasa. And what happens is that under certain occasions, she's going to go back to her father. So, for example, Bizman Shelo Shama HaBaal Kodem Shiyamus. So, let's say, for example, the husband did not hear about the neder. Oh, Shishama Vishasak. Or let's say that the husband heard, but then he was quiet. Oh, Shishama Vehefer. or the husband heard and he was mafer. Basically, anything but the husband did not confirm the neder. Umes, bo bayom. And then the husband died on that very day. So now, basically, she wasn't Aram or Asa. She was under joint jurisdiction of her father and her husband. And the husband hears the neder, but didn't confirm the neder. Or he annulled the neder. Right? The point is, he just didn't confirm it. And he dies that day. Zoe Shishaninu. That's going to be a Mishnah we're going to learn later on. Mesabal Nisrok Nevashos La'av. There, her jurisdiction will go totally back to the father, where the father now will have full rights to annul this neder. Even though earlier this day, there was a joint jurisdiction over her, but if the husband dies, it goes reverts back to the father. Aval. Im shama v'kayem, o sheshama v'shasak, umeiz b'yom shel acharav, en yachol hafer. However, if the husband hears it and he was mekayem the neder, he gave the neder his approval, or he hears and he's quiet, umeiz b'yom shel acharav, and he dies only the day later, but in other words, after the 24-hour period has come and gone, and so basically that is tantamount to a confirmation of the neder, en yachol hafer. Now the father can't be mefer because the husband confirmed it. Once the husband confirmed, that's it. Hafara is no longer an option.
When it's sealed, it's sealed.
All right, period. Next, that's case number one. Case number two, Shema v'yaveh for law. So let's say the father hears about it, below his big balish shmoa ad shemesa av, and the husband simply did not get around in time to respond to react, and the father dies. Zoi sheshaninu mesa av lo nisrokna. When the father dies, so his portion of jurisdiction does not get transferred over to the husband. So in other words, basically, if we were to ask the question, I understand it's a partnership of both the father and the husband. Who is the senior partner and who is the junior partner? It's pretty clear from what the two cases we just learned that the father is the senior partner and the right. And I do mean that literally over here. The father is the senior partner and the husband is the junior partner. And it's clearly articulated by the fact that if and when the husband dies, his portion reverts back to the father. And the father now can be made for the neder exclusively on his own. On the other hand, if she makes a neder while under joint jurisdiction, and then the father dies, so then the husband does not now get full rights to annul the neder. So it's pretty clear that if we're looking at it from a who's the more senior partner in this joint venture, it's the father. Number case, right? Case number three, Shama Aviyah v'Hefer Law. So let's say the father hears this and he's mefer. So in other words, father's objecting. Below his big balish shmoa ad shemesaf, and then dad dies. So the right, interesting. So now in this third scenario, father heard the neder, and he put in his objection. Unfortunately, he died. And now the husband, you could have easily argued, okay, we know what dad thought. He said no. And now the husband should be able to come in. And I would have said, without this portion of the brisa, so now he'll also annul, and him together with the now late father's annulment, so should the two of them combined annul the neder? And the answer is no. Mesa avlo nisrokna v'shus labal. So here, the jurisdiction does not go over to the husband. And this is the point that we made yesterday, and we get to reiterate this point again. Because annulment has to come through the two of them. And when we said that the annulment has to come through the two of them, it means that, again, they both don't have to speak at the same time, but they both have to be present. And their vote of annulment have to be present at the same time. And so therefore, if the father dies, even though he dies, and right before he died, he said, I heard what you said, and I'm annulling the neder. Nevertheless, his absence does not, in absentia, you can't have his vote of annulment count as an annulment.
But he already did. I mean, he already annulled it.
No, because it's, again, it has, it can only come about through the joint venture.
Okay. I know, but he already put his key in.
Understood. But once he has to be alive. It has to be the same day.
Like 24 hours.
It has to be. Right? Okay? That's what we learn out from the last point of the Braisa.
The reverse also true?
Again.
The husband dying the same day.
Presumably. Shama Bala the Hefer Law. So the answer to your question is no. Again, just let's go through this step by step. Shama Bala the Hefer Law. Husband hears. He's mefer. Below he's pick up lishma shemesabah, and then the husband dies. Zui shishaninu mesabah nisrok nivshasav. Now remember, the father's the senior partner. The husband's the junior partner. So the husband hears it. He was mefer the neder, and then he dies. So the father will now receive full rights to annul the neder. But again, this is very similar to the point we already made before. And that's why the Ran spends so much time discussing, well, basically, we heard this before, right? Meaning that if the husband dies, his rights over her revert back to the father. So really, in this scenario over here, we didn't really learn anything new. The Ran makes the argument that, yes, we did. And again, I encourage...
The father is like the bank.
Right. Good. Good. Very good. Shama bala v'hefer lav alo hispik av lishma hachemes. Okay. A husband hears, and the husband is now objecting. We're two lines from the bottom. And the husband annuls, alo hispik av lishma hachemes. And then the father never got a chance to hear, to respond, and the father dies. So now, even though the father never heard, and so really he didn't have a vote yes, he didn't have a vote no, he had nothing to say, but still, the husband cannot be made for the neder unless it's with the partnership of her father. Now again, it's a point where it seems like we've covered this territory before, and the Ran goes on to make the argument that, again, there are nuanced chidushim that come out from every one of these points. But here we go. This is really what we were waiting for. This is the part of the Braisa now that's going to speak to our original question. This now we're now on the top of Samech Tes Amud Aleph. Shama Aviyah Vehefer La. The father hears and the father knows the neder. V'lo hispik abal lishma ad shemes. And then the husband dies. Chozer ha'av u'mefer chelko shabal. So now, in this scenario, the father hears it and immediately says, I'm annulling my share. But again, she's an Ara Murasa. And now we turn to the husband, but in this scenario, the husband doesn't even hear about the neder. The husband dies. Chozer ha'av u'mefer chelko shabal. Well, the father already annulled his portion.
He already voted.
He already voted. And so now, basically, it's a question of him getting the rights of his son-in-law, of his late son-in-law, and now him being able to vote again for his late son-in-law. Now, the Braisa says, check. You could do that. The father could do that. So, Chozer Ava Mefer Chelko Shabal. Now, here comes the critical point of this whole discussion. Amar Rebbe Nasan, hein divrei Beit Shammai. What we just learned, that's the opinion of Beit Shammai. However, Beis Hillel omrim ein yachol lahafer, but Beis Hillel says no. The husband, let me say that correctly. The father cannot take a second vote in this scenario. And why not? And the Ran explains, and I'm paraphrasing the Ran outside. The Ran explains like this. And the Gemara really spells it out, but the explanation I'll give in just a moment. Let me read inside the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Nachman, hein divrei Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel omrim ein yachol lahafer. Shma mina lebeit Shammai megiz gaiz, lebeit Hillel miklash kal shma mina. And so the Gemara says, and in conclusion, Beit Shammai subscribes to the concept of the mechanical underpinnings of the joint hafara as megas gaiz. Beit Shammai understands it as 50-50, and Beis Hillel understands it as miklash kalish. And so now I'm just going to give over the Ran's explanation. It goes like this. If the way you view it is megas gaiz, that means 50-50, meaning that there is 50% ownership of her neder by the father and 50% ownership of neder of the husband. Father hears the neder, father says, okay, I'm annulling. What is he annulling? His 50% ownership. Then, unfortunately, later that day, the husband dies. What is the father now getting? He's actually getting a quantifiable ownership of the neder. In other words, the husband had 50% of the neder. The father now is basically acquiring that 50% ownership. And therefore, the father now can annul a second time because everything was quantifiable. He already annulled his 50% share, and now in the introduction of his son-in-law's 50% share, he can annul that as well. Good. That's why the Gemara assumes that according to Beis Shammai Megas Gaius, it is quantifiable portions, shares within the neder of the daughter slash wife. However, according to Beis Hillel Miklash Kalish, interesting. It's not that it is quantifiable 50-50. It's basically the first hafara weakens it, and the second hafara dissolves it in totality. So here, it is simply a not quantifiable portion, that second hafara. So when the father already put in his vote of, I'm going to be made for the neder, now it's a weakened, the neder is now in a weakened state. And it's the husband now who can totally annihilate the neder with his hafara. But it is not a quantifiable portion. It is not the kind of thing now where, if in the event the husband dies, he can now transfer his shares over to the father because they're not shares. It's just simply now, it's the neder's in a weakened state, and the only one who can now totally annihilate that neder is only going to be the other partner. But because it's not quantifiable, because it's not 50-50, so now the husband cannot send his ownership, his husband died, that ownership cannot then go and be transferred to the father. That's why, says Aran, according to Beis Hillel, the way the Gemara assumes is that's Miklash Kalish. And that's why in this particular scenario, the father now simply has no recourse. Can't annul the neder because they're simply not acquiring the powers, so to say, of a son-in-law. So what comes out now is that basically to the original question of the Gemara, how to view the mechanics of the joint hafara, so it comes out now that's a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So, and if the Gemara's conclusion is valid, which certainly this is it, meaning this is the end of the discussion, so that means that Beis Hillel takes the viewpoint of Miklash Kalish.
How could they explain the seniority of father? The seniority of father requires not to be 50-50.
Well, let's come to me after. We'll discuss it after. Okay, let's just quickly recap what we saw today. Okay, little Gemara, but lot of big ideas in today's daf. Okay, the question of, first of all, how do I know this whole concept of joint hafara? So yesterday's daf learned it out from the second section of Hafaras Nedarim. Today's daf learns it out from Pasuk Yud Zayin. Machlokas between Rava and Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel. We learned out that the husband's ability to be made for his wife's Nedarim is only for Nedarim Shebeino Levena and Inui Nefesh. So the husband is limited. What about the father's ability to make for his daughter's nedarim? So the Ran strongly is of the opinion that same limitations. The Rambam's of the opinion it's unlimited. Father can be made for all nedarim of his daughter. Fine. Then the big question of today was, how do we view mechanically the hafara of the father and the husband when they have joint jurisdiction? So either one way to view it is that there's a 50-50 ownership of the neder, or the other way to view it is that the first hafara weakens the neder, and second hafara dissolves it in totality. The Gemara's conclusion is that this is really subject to a machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. The Beis Hillel's position is Miklash Kalish, which then would be the conclusion in terms of where the halakha stands.